Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Internet's Most Hated Mafia-Themed Geek Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. You know what? I don't know what to think this week. I don't know how to think this week. Because this week, I had plans. I had plans to share with you all a bunch of retrospective episodes pertaining to Otakon to help gear all of you up for Otakon 2021, and all the great content we'll be bringing you from that event this year, because we'll be there all 3 days. But no, Don Ramirez had to contact this show and say, Rev, listen, I need a favor from you again. I said, what's the favor? I said, listen, I hear that 6 years ago, on July 12th, 2015, y'all dropped your first official episode of the Long Coat Mafia podcast featuring you, Big Candy, and Zombie Bunny. Is that right? I said, yeah, that's 6 years ago. He said, well then, isn't it 6 years to the day? Same day, Monday, July 12th, 2021, would be the exact 6th year anniversary of that dropping. I said, yeah. I have plans. He said, forget about those plans. I'm scheduling a round two of Halloween interviews. You definitely want down? I said, Don, you know, I want to work with you. I like working with you. I'm down. He said, great. There's going to be 3 more interviews that we're going to snag for Halloween. And I said, great. Who are they? He said, yeah, we got this week scheduled for interviews for you to record, and you know, that we both could benefit and share. He said, we got Andrea Harris, Dean McBee, and Johnny Sullivan. What do you think? I said, Don, again, I like working with you. Let's do this. So this past Saturday, July 10th, I sat down with Don Ramirez to speak with Andrea Harris, Dean McBee, and Johnny Sullivan for their interviews. We recorded that. Now, the video versions of these interviews will be dropped on YouTube later this week. So, for all of you out there that just love listening to the interviews, we got them right here, right now, in the same style as last week. If you missed out on last week's interviews, please go back and listen to last week's episode. You can always do that by going to the podcast app that you use, whether it be Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or whatever you use. You can go and snag that episode and listen to those interviews. If not, it's up to you. If you already have and you haven't listened to any of our back catalog, you may do so. But still, stick around for the interviews that we have this week. They're wonderful interviews and everything else. Check them out. Now, here's the standard disclaimers I have to give all of you out there. The first one is in regards to Halloween itself, because a lot of hints are going to be dropped in this interview. Like last week, I must tell you, the actual event is in October. Starts October, maybe the end of September, start of October. Because of that, the card is subject to change, meaning what hints you might hear in this interview episode or the videos you watch, they could change. They could change between now and mid-September, if not right up until the first showings of everything happens. That means up until the very first haunted theater goes off, things might change. So, as always, I recommend to all of you out there checking out the website. The website will be in the description of this episode. And check them out to find out when the official dates of Halloween are. And coming down to the Apollo Civic Theater here in Martinsburg, West Virginia, and participating in the Apollo Haunted Theater. Now, they're going to be doing, as far as I was told, There's going to be three aspects happening this year, if not four. First off is the Haunted Theater itself. They're going to be, memory holds, it's going to be like Friday, Saturday, maybe Sunday in regards to the Haunted Theater. Check the website for actual details on when the Haunted Theater is going to happen. They're going to be doing a paranormal investigation. So if you're a wannabe, this is for, again, everything what I'm told is subject to change. So do not hold us or the Apollo Theater to this. Check the website. But from what we were told, as of now, there's going to be several aspects. First aspect is, again, the Haunted Theater. The second thing is paranormal investigations. That means you're able to come down, be part of a group, and do your own paranormal investigations in regards to the theater. Now, allow me to tell you that there's been several experiences I have had to kind of verify that something weird is happening in the theater. So, whether it's paranormal or not, some might say yes, others might no. Come on down, participate in the paranormal investigations, and see and hear for yourself. See if you can catch a ghost. And one of the third things that I've been told and I've been hearing in regards to this event, there'll be a Rocky Horror Picture Show event during this year's Apolloween event, and which usually means they'll be showing the Rocky Horror Picture Show along with a shadow cast. Don't hold me to it. Don't hold the theater to it. Check the website. Website's, again, in the description. The fourth thing that I hear is going to be going on is that there's going to be kind of a movie being shown that kid-friendly, what exactly it is. Like, it could be like an old showing of Night of the Living Dead. I mean, the original Night of the Living Dead. It could be like The Blob. It could be, you know, Adam's Family. I don't know what's being shown, but check out the website. See what's going on. Bookmark it. You know, follow them on Facebook. Links will be in the description in regards to it. The second thing is because instead of recording it in the theater like we did it last week, this time around we recorded it in the Apollo Civic Theater's ballroom, and thus the ambience, even though the actual theater is bigger than the ballroom has different acoustics for some weird reason. So there might be some boosting involved in regards to the interviews that we did. Whether or not and there was any additional editing that might not have been there. I know with the interview with Andrea, her son was part of the interview, like last few minutes of the interview. I may or may not have included that. So that being said, please do not expect it. But still, we had a bunch of great interviews for you. So stick around for it. I'm doing this the same way as I did it last week, which means all the interviews will be together. There will be no breaks from me in regards to these interviews. And I'll see you all, in a way, at the other side of these interviews. So, that being said, here's the interviews. And let's take it away. Don, take it away.
All right, Aunt Andrea, right?
Yes.
Say your full name.
Andrea Harris.
And today's date.
Today
is
June 10th.
July 10th. 2021. We're here at the Apollo, and we're going to do a little bit of your backstory.
Okay.
So I want you to tell me how you got involved with this year's haunt and what you're bringing to Apolloween this year.
Okay. So start from the beginning of my name.
Yeah.
All right. My name's Andrea Harris. Today is July 10th, 2021. I grew up in the horror community. I was born and raised in Warner Robins, Georgia. Grew up half my life in Easley, Pickens area, South Carolina. It started out, my very first horror experience, I was a little girl, and my godfather used to, he's actually my uncle. He used to do, every Halloween I used to dress up as a witch. And he would take us out trick-or-treating, and every single year it was tradition. He would take us out to these old wooden covered bridges, and he would drop me and my brother off and disappear. Well, then he'd come back on a horse as the headless horseman, scare the daylights out of us, and we would actually just take off running. It made me have a love and horror, love for horror things, all horror related. I grew up with Matthew, and being around him, me and him's always loved the horror things. I've helped him.
Talk about some of your favorite horror movies, especially as a younger woman, as a young lady. What are some of the early horror films that caught your attention and why?
Some of my earlier horror movies I loved was Drop Dead Fred. A lot of people don't really know that one. It's like a horror comedy. I used to love that just because it was focused on the imaginary friend, and the little girl was the owner of it. And he used to do all kinds of funny, messed up things. But the other one was, gotta say, Christine. I love any of the Stephen King movies. I was always huge on them, and just anything paranormal. My mom is half Indian, and she was straight off the Onondaga Reservation, so I'm Indian through and through. And my other side of my family is half Irish, so they're straight from Ireland. So I have huge heritage that runs
that
through my blood.
The supernatural
right. Stuff.
That belief in, right.
Yes.
Right.
So
right.
When it comes to the paranormal and things like that, I truly love it, and I try to explore into it as much as possible, just because of my heritage. So any of the movies that have anything to do with like haunting type stuff, I get soaked into it really, really big.
Do you have any favorite directors? Are there any favorite, you know, from one guy that you, I've got to go see this?
Not really. My biggest things are like the Stephen King movies,
right.
And like any special effects that's done by Tom Savini.
Right.
I love Tom Savini's artwork that he does with the special effects. Like, he is what started special effects. He's legendary. So I absolutely love all of his work with Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, all of that. I've always called to that type of stuff.
How many other haunts, this is 2021.
Yes.
You guys have been involved with this one for the past 3 weekends.
Yes.
How many other haunts have you been involved with, and tell me about it.
I've helped, I actually helped Matthew with one. I used to be an office manager up at Riverbend Membership Corporation. It's the RV park up here in Falling Waters.
Right.
And I did that haunt some. And other than that, I've helped out with some various backyard haunts, things like that. Nothing major.
What are you doing this year? What's your contribution here, not only with the labor part, but when this thing comes to fruition in October?
Well, they say it's like the four that are running it. Well, I was part of the whole thing from the start. So I'm like Jen's right-hand person. And anything Jen needs, I'm right there with her. I help with a lot of the decision-making, things like that. I'm doing a little bit of everything, helping building, helping tearing down. I'm going to be doing a little bit of everything. So I'm just as much invested as the four. It's just my name's not going to be on the LLC, nothing like that. because I am disabled. So I cannot be on any of the names. So,
are you going to Matt Burns's thing in Chambersburg?
Yes.
What's the
Main Street Nightmares?
Yeah, what are you doing? What are you part of? What is the program?
I am part of Amos Effects. Me and Matthew Amos, we have been together now. And I run Amos Effects.
And what are you guys doing in July? What's, are you guys
we will have a table set up there.
Over at Burns' thing. Over
yep,
there.
We will have a table set up there. We've also got a couple various other things that a
are
couple of various
any
other
of the
events.
Screenings?
I'm not sure if we're going to be at any of the screenings.
If you decide to go to a screening, let me know. I'll go sit with you. Guys.
Yeah, I know Remnants is one that
yeah,
Matthew
was
in.
Yeah, I was thinking about seeing that.
So we have the movie at home. We've seen it a million times. I'm not sure if we're actually going to it, but I do know that we're going to have a table set up, and my son that is hiding behind the camera, he will be there at Main Street with us. It'll be the first convention he's going to. But this will be his first haunt that he is working in and running, is or helping with us, and
from
hopefully
day one,
acting
no
in.
Less.
Yes.
You sure you don't want to talk to me for a little bit? You're going to stay back.
He's playing
there.
Shy.
Tell us a little bit about your son, how old he is, and...
His name is Tristan Thomason. He is 8 years old. He is very much in love with horror as well. He actually helps us make props and stuff for Amos Effects. We have one of his severed arms that is a huge seller. He's into all love of horror. He's been up there helping us tear down walls. He's been helping us clean up screws. He wants to act in this year's haunt. He's just an all-around energetic bundle of joy that loves to be in the center of everything, but when a camera comes out, he loves to hide.
Shy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, we're good. We can pause right now. And
it's your last chance.
Stay around, Sullivan. We're going to pick you up next. All right.
I'm not allowed to record until August. We're not even supposed to be here until August.
We don't even have to talk about anything but backstories. That's all
it.
We're doing.
That's all we're doing.
Okay.
Backstories. All right, go ahead and hit it.
It is.
Okay. Tristan, introduce yourself. Your name. Tell me your name.
I'm Tristan.
Yeah, talk Thomason.
Tristan Thomason.
And tell me, Tristan, are you having fun with all of this?
Yes.
Meeting all these people and being in this neat theater? Have you seen any ghosts here?
I have back in the back corner back there.
Tell me about the ghost you saw. What did he look like?
It looked like some medieval weird face that was staring at me. And
talk loud.
It was like... that thing back there.
It looked like that?
Yeah.
You talk loudly, though.
So what do you tell your friends when you tell them that you're going to help on a haunt? What do your friends say?
I haven't really told any of my friends yet.
Nobody knows that you're helping to build a haunted house? You've got to tell everyone you're helping to build a haunted house. So what, I want you to tell me some of your favorite movies.
Voorhees, Revenant. That's pretty much my only two favorites.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah, you love it.
It.
It and It too.
Yeah, those are good movies. I agree. All right, we're good. Cool. Thank you. Full name and today's date.
Dean McBee, and today is July 9th.
10th or 11th.
10th.
10th.
July 10th. 2021. Yep.
So, Dean, I want to start with, I want you to tell us your role here at the Apollo.
Well, most recently I've been the assistant director for the Apolloween show over the last 12 years or so. I've been involved with the Apollo almost my whole life since I grew up here. So
that's,
I was, I was just telling one of the gentlemen that we were giving a tour to that I had an actual ghost experience right back in the back of this room on the stairs.
Tell us the story.
I was in here with my high school girlfriend, and we were here because one of the board of directors members had a daughter that wanted to interview or audition for Star Search. You may remember that TV show. And they were going to film it here. So he thought that might give her an advantage practicing on the stage. Well, they had renovated this ballroom, and we came up to see it. So after we were finished, we sent the girl, his wife, his daughter, and my girlfriend down the front stairs, and he said, let's go scare him and mess with the rain curtain behind the stage. So we sent them down the front stairs here that you see, and we turned all the lights out right here on the wall. We went back to the back of the room, and the stairs to the left there's about five stairs. We get there, and he holds his hand up when we're on the stairs, and we hear footsteps coming toward us. The hallway back there comes from the pin rail across above the stage. That's where we were going to go and mess with the rain curtain. And so we stopped on the stairway, and the footsteps came toward us, came out of the doorway. Each step that we were on the stairway we were on creaked, except for the two we were standing on. Each step creaked, and then the footsteps came across the room and came out this door. That's the most obvious paranormal experience I've ever had in my entire life. Much after that, I did probably over 200 paranormal investigations and never had anything as obvious as that show itself.
What is it that allows you to believe in the supernatural? What is it that possesses your imagination?
Well, it 22 years old, that was my first exposure. After that, I went looking. Much after that, I'll say 20 years later, I went looking. And our director, Jennifer, and I were partners in paranormal investigations, and we did literally hundreds of them. Most of the time, you ran into people that were really not truthful and not, you know, above board. You know, intentionally or not intentionally, they thought they had something, but yeah, they just weren't all there. But she got a couple of pictures that, you know, full body apparitions, and the paranormal community will tell you, if you get one picture of a full body apparition in your life, you are absolutely lucky. She got three or four while I was assisting her on paranormal investigations. And I mean, it was just amazing to do.
Earlier today, or this evening, you were telling me about the vision for this year's of Halloween and the Haunt. Share that with our audience on how you envision both of the two floors working for this year's Haunt.
Well, this floor that we're on, I think we're going to build our maze like we used to do. So in past years, we had...
This is the second floor.
This is the ballroom.
Ballroom.
Exactly. Right. So we have people coming in from the back of the ballroom, and in past years, we had three passes. So from the back of the room, the folks would come up this way, and it was well-lit, and it was, you know, pop-outs, it was actors, it was visual scenery and whatever. And then when they got to this point, we would say, okay, now you're going into a black maze. Anybody that wants to bail out, you can wait here for your cohorts. And then we would turn off all lights, and people would go the other length of the ballroom and then back again in total darkness. And we would do, we always told everybody, don't use your cell phones. But we caught people using their cell phones, so we started screwing around with the floor. We made it uneven, and that was one of the best effects that we had. You know, that they wouldn't expect that.
Right.
So even though they were looking at the ceiling trying to find their way through, they weren't watching the floor. So we would adapt as people would try to cheat.
I don't mean to interrupt, Don, but I remember that one year because I've always liked the coming to the Apollo Theater when you guys did the Haunted Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the I don't know if that was the first year you guys did that, but I think I was telling you, Don, that that was what, you know, I am, to put it politely, a butthole when it comes to art. I'm the person that enjoys the whole aspect of the ambience. I know what goes into it. I know the effort you all put into it. I just, you know, it takes me, because I know it takes me out of the experience, but what I love is being in the group with the other people.
Oh, sure.
And I get to appreciate what you guys did. And I remember that blackout maze, feeling the unevenness of the carpet, and like, oh, this is a nice touch, it's a little bit different, can't mm-hmm. see, but the group I was with that year, they had a couple of young women, maybe 14 to 16 years of age. I'm just trailing the group, trying to mind my own business, and I'm chuckling like, yeah, this is good, like just, and all of a sudden they're starting to get, I'm not a cast member, I'm just, and all of a sudden I hear them like, oh. And I asked, because you can't see, I accidentally bumped them. I went, sorry. And they just started to get more scared. And I'm like, I just became a cast member without being camped. I think at the end, they had to try to find us. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I think I left the whole experience. I'm like, can I go again? I want another group that I can just slowly
The group diagnostics are fun, and we did stuff like we would hang fishing line low enough to hit somebody in the face, because you're not going to see that in a dark maze, and it'll freak people out when they something touches them. And then the one year we ended the black maze with an 8x8 room, and we hung 40 pool noodles from the ceiling to about this far off the floor, maybe a foot or two off the floor, and we had an actor in there to surprise people. And so people would come through there and they'd start fighting through the pool noodles, and then our guy would flip on a flashlight and show his mask, and it was a good effect.
You were saying also earlier that one of the things that separates this haunt from other haunts is the theater, that you very much incorporate actors.
Exactly.
And actresses. So let's talk about how you guys do that.
In the past, what we did, especially on the third floor, is we had 7 rooms, and we had a hallway and a room, a hallway and a 12x12 room. And so as soon as you entered the hallway, we'd start the music for some horror movie. That gave you a clue as to what might be in the room. But of course, even if we did, let's say, The Exorcist 2 years in a row, when you came into that room, it was not going to be the same thing you saw the last time. And each room was a 1 or 2 minute skit with a surprise at the end. And then lights go out, light comes on in the next hallway, and you move on. That was great because we're a theater and it was different than any other haunted house had ever done. And we heard it from tons of people. We've never seen anything like that. But this year we're going to try to change it up to increase the throughput. And, you know, you've got to try new things.
Right.
You know, we did that for many, many years. People liked it. But we're going to change it up this year and try to, you know, we're still going to have the same type of thing. And we will use our actors, because our actors are our life here at the theater. We have some great resources here. And especially we have artists, you know, the lady that painted the one room to look like an old cabin. I mean, she's painting flats that you see all over the room here. And it's amazing. They look like old antique wood of a cabin. They just do incredible stuff. Another room where we did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, we've got wallpaper on the wall. She's used a heat gun to tear stuff off. She used motor oil and stuff to make it look old. The artists that work with us are the most impressive to me. I mean, I build stuff, not very well. But you know, I do what I can. But the people with the artistic talent are the ones that really impressed me here. And then, of course, the kids. Because we would have, especially kids from the Youth Summer Workshop, we would give them a skit. And we'd say, okay, here's what you kind of should do. but they would ad-lib the script, and they always did a great job. Because, I mean, they are actors. They went through a summer or more of acting in our summer workshop, and they would put on a great skit.
The follow-up I have for you, and then we'll grab Sullivan, is, Dean, I want you to know you came to my attention last year. I was doing the only show that Apollo did in November, and you had took your time, and you decorated the front of the Apollo for Halloween.
Yes.
So let's talk about the impact of Corona, and let's talk about keeping the spirit of Halloween through Corona.
Well, we actually did more than Halloween. Jennifer and I, my partner in crime here, she's director, I'm assistant director for pretty much everything we do. And the theater was shut down. Everybody was very sad about it. And nobody was in here. We came in to just do some cleanup up on the third floor. And we'd go up to the costume room to grab something to use for decoration out front. And we'd hear footsteps across the room. The ghosts were lonely, is the only thing I can figure.
Right.
You know? So we just tried to do something to make the Apollo relevant while we were closed. So we're you know, the scary people. So we started with Halloween, and we knew that we couldn't, you know, have anyone in here. So we decorated the lobby, and we decorated every window in the ballroom here and every window on the third floor. And we had, you know, we backlit stuff with zombies and various actors. We worked for 3 weeks in the lobby to get an apparition that would move. We tried plate glass. Finally, we tried cellophane, and it took us 3 weeks to get it to work. But after we got it to work, it was so awesome. We had a moving apparition on the front door of the theater. That was for Halloween. So the theater president said, "Hey, that was great. Can you do something for Christmas?" And we said, "We're the scary people. We don't do Christmas." And we said, "Well, okay," because, you know, everybody liked coming down Martin Street. Seeing something. And
of
course,
to do in Corona,
exactly.
Right?
And then my friends that I interacted with, I would tell them about it, and I'd say, "Hey, go down to Martin Street." And they're like, "That's amazing." And then for Christmas, the roundhouse looked so amazing. And I said, "Okay, come and see our stuff, and then swing a left and go down and look at the roundhouse, because they've done some amazing stuff too. They can't have people in there either." So Jennifer and I put the giant wreaths out here. We almost fell out the window a couple times. And we did the same thing. We put some stuff in the top windows. We put our skeletons in the lobby. We put a Santa Claus suit on one. We put a Mrs. Claus suit on the other. I mean, it was funny. A couple of my friends that work for the city, because city workers run through here, you know, on a regular basis, commented to me. That was pretty good. Our guys were pretty interested when they came through and saw that.
I will say this before I turn it off. I think 1 year during the setup, I came outside. I don't know who I stopped. It was one of the staff. I said, "I like what you did this year." And it's like, well, the only thing that was missing out of one of the rooms, I forgot, it's been years. And I said, "It could have used one small detail." And they were like, "What?" "Smoke machine." That's all, I think, it's like, that's all it needed. Like a little bit of like smoke ambiance to mm-hmm. it. Not too much, just a little bit. And I think I was told it's like either there was no room for it. Or
no, our smoke detectors are too sensitive.
Yeah, or
and then when
like
they
that.
Go off, we have to have all three floors of actors evacuate in front of the people waiting for the show,
right.
And it's a whole mess.
It's like something
we
like that.
Been there,
it's
done
like,
that.
It was like,
we absolutely have.
Just added that final
yeah.
touch. And in regards to the paranormal aspect, it was last week, Don. It's like when we were doing our first run of interviews on, in essence, below us on the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Don twice, it was his interview, you know, getting set up and talking to Don. I was like, "Don, I think I see," you know, it was what's classified as a shadow person running down the far, what would be this,
oh, yeah.
that side. I'm like, and it was, I think either after, no, it wasn't Donnie, it was Matthew. It's like, Don, I could have swore somebody was walking across the stage and no one, because I would have noticed somebody, you know, mm-hmm. whether you guys, Jennifer, or somebody walking. This was not regular staff.
The balcony is very active. There's a woman in white that is seen a lot in the area where you guys were filming. The one that has moved in recent time is there's a little girl that usually hangs out and is seen around the stage, and she'll say people's names. Like, I don't know how she knows them, I guess from our conversation, but that's very odd of an apparition having that kind of power. But that little girl has been more often lately haunting the concession stand area. And that's what I keep feeling, is that they're lonely. There's been no one in here for over a year. And the spirits here, or whatever you want to call it, nothing is malevolent here. You know, people have been here for decades, and nothing bad has happened to them.
The aspect of, like, that chat, what would be that chat person, was like, I think you with me and Don recording there.
Right. They are malevolent. Bring them on.
Yeah. No, you never say that. That's a paranormal investigator will tell you never, ever say that.
But it was just like, wanted to know, or she wanted to know, like, what are we doing, you know.
Exactly. They're curious. But what one of the funniest stories is, when we have our maze set up here in the ballroom, we usually had some of the smaller kids, 10, 11 years old, in the light part of the maze. That was our actors in there. And one of the kids went up and says, Miss Jen, how did you get that kid to walk through the wall? And she goes, oh, honey, don't worry about that. That's a Disney effect. We didn't do that. But the kids seem to bring it on more.
Oh, yeah.
The younger children,
Their imagination.
Exactly.
This was maybe 2017, 2018. It was just a funny, relatable thing. When the Roundhouse had their Paracon, and I had just a simple mic set up for the panels, I was just, okay, everything's plugged in, I'm just going to record for the day, and I'll edit and post. And I'm going to, because I can see the audio, and I noticed a little bit of spike in one of the, because supposedly the Roundhouse is on it as well.
Sure.
And it was a noticeable spike when the train was going by. I put, you know, put on better headphones. It sounded like someone was at, I played it for some of the investigators there. They said, no, it's the brakes. To me, it doesn't sound like the brakes. It sounds like someone close to the mic whispering, it's a train.
Huh.
To me, that's what it sounds like. And when I posted, I said on the episode when I dropped it, I said, listen, I want to include a clip. To me, it sounds like something is saying it's a train. The paranormal investigators that we played this clip to say it's just brake lines. You know, something to get the audience participation in. It's like, what do you think? Leave a comment down below.
Right.
You know, is it someone or something saying it's a train because the train's going by and they realize that it was some microphone?
EVP is tough.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of paranormal investigators. Some of them love EVP and they really get into it. But when they catch something, it's just so open to speculation as to what they caught. Some people will say, oh, that's just this or that or nonsense or whatever. And other people saying, oh, my gosh, you caught part of a sentence. It's just so open to speculation.
Me, it's like, the way it sounded, it's like, well, if it is an EVP, actual EVP, it's so cool that something came up to the microphone, acknowledged
exactly.
that it's a microphone, not that it's like what's in front of you, that it's a microphone of sorts. They acknowledged it and had to say, or from what I heard from the investigators, you need something to amplify to gain the energy. They said, had to explain what was going by.
Sure.
The big loud, it's a train.
And what you experience is very common. You don't hear it in real time. You record and you play back and you hear something that you did not hear in real time. That's common EVP.
When we did this show in November and the next day cleaning up, and I had those moments just alone with the deity, you know what I mean? And you feel that presence. And to me, like, you know, whether there is or isn't, it's that feeling of history. You
Oh, yeah.
History of the building. So if the spirits live here, it's probably one of the most beautiful buildings you can think of.
This place has an amazing history.
Yeah. And the architecture is, it's beautiful. It's worthy of savings.
That's why Jennifer and I have been here for so many years.
Right. Yeah. Not many spaces left like this.
Exactly.
I'll walk up with you, Dean, and we can get Johnny Sullivan. Give me your full name.
Johnny Sullivan.
Johnny Sullivan. Johnny, let's talk about what you're doing here this year at the Apollo Theater and for Apolloween. Tell me about your role, and then I want to go back and I want to hear some backstories on what you're bringing to the table.
All right. Well, my goal was to really help Jen out and get Apolloween back and coming back. So Apolloween, hasn't happened in a few years as a full program. So one of the things on the plate is bringing back the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I used to participate in even here at the Apollo years ago in the 90s when I was still in my teens. maybe even up to early 20s. I'm not sure.
So you have a history with the Apollo as well?
Yes, yep. And with that particular show. So with it having been run in a few years, we have to recast for this year. Of course, it needs a stage manager. And so basically I'm just willing to go in wherever needed. I do have a diverse background in film and theater. So wherever I fit in to bring that program back is where I'll end up.
How did you get involved in this year's Apolloween? How did you hear about it? And how were you invited to be part of what they're going to do in 2021?
Honestly, it was a really strange, not strange, it was just through a random occurrence of events. I am about to purchase a large property and move to it that's out, not in a city municipality, but out in the county with no zoning.
In Berkeley County?
No, I will not be in Berkeley County.
Where's
Hardy County.
Hardy County, Westford. Oh, yeah. Cool.
So about an hour 15 down the road, but a nice large property, over 100 acres, and I was thinking of putting a haunt there. And then a friend of mine, Matt Burns, started getting me involved in talking to people who were interested in doing haunts, which he had me talk to Jen, and she was, kind of a unique opportunity because I've never ran a haunt. She's trying to bring the one back to the Apollo this year.
For a layperson, someone who's not familiar with the word haunt, explain what that is. For the audience for the past few weeks have been hearing about haunt. What is a haunt? What do you mean by that?
Well, a Halloween themed or any type of theme that you would typically see during Halloween season. So like a haunted attraction, as like Disney World has the Haunted Mansion, that
corn
could be considered
mazes,
a corn mazes, yeah. Straw bale mazes. Typically, most of them usually just run through the Halloween season. But if you've ever been to a large beach town, they have them that will run year-round. And,
horror. Have you done these haunts before, and which ones have you been to?
As a child, I worked in one at Harper's Ferry. I did this one at the Apollo maybe 20 years ago, before Jen Roberts' time. Still in high school at that time as well. And other than that, no, I've never worked in one.
So this will be good experience for what you want to do in Hardy County, West Virginia. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. As far as I know right now, they're still looking on the correct proposal for somebody to partner with the Apollo, or if they get the right group to essentially run it again as the Apollo. And that we should know in a couple of weeks. They're really pushing for that to happen, so we should know who it's going to be and what it's going to be called and what days it's going to run.
Let's talk a little bit about horror, okay? Is it horror films that you became interested in? What is it about horror that would have you commit to coming out on your weekends and giving up your weekends to do this manual labor to create this haunt? So what are some of your favorite horror films? What genres speak to you? What got you involved in that?
Well, years ago, when I was fresh out of stunt school, I did a couple of nice large productions, but there was a lot of direct-to-video independent horror going on at the time, which gave me the opportunity to become a stunt coordinator at a relatively young age. So I did you call them low budget or modest budget, you know, in the $20,000 to $50,000 price range that were direct-to-video for companies like Maverick and you know, distribution companies like that at the time in the 2003 to 2012 timeline, which a lot of that's disappeared, but always had a good time on those working on those shows. But my main thing here would just be getting back, since I'm sort of leaving the film world after, you know, 20 years, living in a hotel gets old. I took a year off and before COVID, and then with COVID, I really realized that I'd like to stick at home now and slow down. So the Apollo in and of itself will give me a creative outlook or creative outlet for that. So, because I would like to intend to get more involved with their stage shows as far as set design and set construction, which, you know, it will give me an outlet for that creative side, and then I'll just work close to home and not be traveling all the time.
Do you live in Berkeley County?
Currently, yes.
All right. Let's talk about the larger vision of what you guys have planned for this year's Apolloween, and we'll talk a little bit about the program that's coming up.
Okay, so this year's Apolloween, like I said, you know, there's a big push to bring it back right now. Depending on how you feel about things currently going on in the world and in the country, there has been some mention of it through the board of, you know, the possibility of this variant D coming with restrictions again, which, you know, nobody really knows, but we've never really in my lifetime not had these restrictions, and we just had them here in the state of West Virginia for 9 months. So right now, the goal of Apolloween is to begin marketing with the intention to run it. Jen is working her as hard as can be to bring everything back. We pretty much, you know, they have agreed to pay the royalties and everything for Rocky. So Rocky's coming back. They've got their movie selected for the children's movie that they do. What's the other event? There's another event.
The
paranormal investigations. And then, you know, the push and the desire to bring back the haunted theater, or the haunted theater or haunted attraction somehow, under some format.
And then my last question is, I want you to share with us your relationship and friendship with Matt Burns, how you guys got together, how you met. As it seems, here we are giving up this is my third Saturday night in a row.
Right.
And it always seems to be Matt Burns that, you know.
Isn't doesn't make it. Yeah, it's another show. He was here last night. but I think he'll be here next Saturday night also. He has said he has. But, you know, Matt Burns is actually getting ready for a show that he's doing in Waynesboro, Nightmares on Main Street, which happens in 2 weeks.
You're going to be there for that?
Probably not, because depending on what's going on here, I'll be here, which is fine. I may go to that. I'm not sure. So how did I get to meet Matt Burns?
How did you guys?
Really through local music years ago. He promoted a lot of local music. I had several friends that were in indie metal bands. And just through that, when I moved to Australia to go to school and in California to work as a stunt performer, he started attempting to run a convention. And he asked if I would come be a guest. Of course, that first year convention, that was back in 2013. It never came to fruition. But then the following year, I co-produced Halloween Fest with him. Co-produced and co-promoted that event down in, what town in Virginia was it? It wasn't Leesburg. Oh man, it was my event. I can't even remember the Fredericksburg. I was down in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and pretty sure it was Fredericksburg. If I'm wrong, it's. But so that was 2014, and then Matt has continued to do conventions, which I've always supported him in, and you know, we've maintained a friendship through over the last 7 years. And when I decided that I was going to buy the large property and consider putting a haunted attraction on it, he started introducing me to people and bringing me back in the fold.
All right. I'm good. I don't have any other follow-up questions, but I want a picture for Facebook.
Sure. Was that good?
Everything you were awesome, dude.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Say whatever you got or whatever you want to say.
Promote it.
Oh, yeah. No, I still strongly support the West Virginia Film Office as well, although we no longer have it. It's currently not an entity, but there are some people working to bring it back. I wear this hat every day out of, it's been a long day. It's been a really long day. Protest. I wear my hat out of protest because of my disappointment with it being disbanded. And it's been 3 years since we had a film office, and I'm really eager to see it come back. And there is a group of people that are working to make that happen.
Hey everyone, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed those three interviews that we got this past Saturday, July 10th. And because this episode is dropping on the exact anniversary date of our very first episode, and you made it this far into this episode, I am asking you, if you enjoy these interviews, and if you have any questions, comments, or remarks yourself in regards to any of the interviews, to leave a comment down below in the pinned post on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast, to leave a comment, your questions, comments, and so forth. But again, since this episode is being dropped on the actual anniversary date of our very first official the anniversary date of the very first episode we dropped, first official episode of the Long Coat Mafia podcast. If you've been listening to our episodes for a year, 2 years, or all 6 years, put your thoughts and comments down below on how you thought we progressed, how far we came. Did we still screw up? Did we still stay the same? Kind of review us. Tell us how well we did, or are we still screwing up? Put your memories down below. If we get enough comments in regards to that, we'll make a brand new episode regarding your comments, your questions, and so forth and so on. That offer has always stood since I started the page and everything else. That has always been there. We do have an email. It is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. You're more than welcome to send us an email and do your questions, comments, and remarks that way. We do have a TikTok. It is, I think, LCM Pod. Feel free to follow us there. We've been posting up videos every now and again. We do have an Instagram and a Twitter. We post to Instagram a little bit more often than we do Twitter. We got to post up more often to Twitter. We've been neglecting that about as often as we have been neglecting our Twitch channel. But still, our Twitter handle and our Instagram share pretty much the same screen handle, and that is Long Coat Mafia. Go there, follow us. Bug us there. That way it forces us to interact with all of you out there. What else? Our Twitch handle, because I mentioned that. It is, I think, Long Coat Mafia Pod. Okay, the reason why we're not streaming there is that because the reason why we stream on Twitch, or makes it easy to stream on Twitch, is because we use the stream to Twitch function on our Xbox One. And that being said, because Uncle Tony contacted us to help out a member of our family, our Long Coat Mafia family, and because we have to communicate a few things in regards to how Xbox does things, we have to kind of get everything back up and running. And before I continue, I know it sounded like an edit because, well, as like last week, and we've been having a couple of problems, system, because of updates and all that, it's been foobarring everything Audacity's doing. Not to mention, the system seems to want to default our USB mic as a speaker. So therefore, the system pretty much says, "Hey, we see the USB microphone is set up and running. It's a speaker too, right?" No, it's a microphone. It's a speaker, right? It's a speaker. We want to see it as a speaker. It's not a speaker. It's a microphone, Microsoft. Windows, it's a microphone, not a speaker. It's a speaker. So let's change it to a speaker. It's a microphone. You see, it has microphone in the title. What makes you think it's a speaker? It's a speaker. We wanted a speaker, so we're going to change it. And as soon as the system decides to change it, it stops all recording. And it pisses me off because it loses our rhythm in regards to letting you guys know, like the whole Twitch thing. I could be ranting for 5 minutes and it's not recording anything because why? And the system decided, heck with you. We're going to stop right here and let the Godfather just rant to air because he's not paying attention to anything. So, therefore, you have gaps in, you know, me editing, pacing issues. But still, that being said, I do apologize for that. It's something that's out of my control. But it might be time to get a new computer sometime soon. Which we'll probably get over the next year. We'll set cash aside and get a brand new computer. And with Windows 11 coming out shortly, it's something else. I know some of you out there, why don't you get a Mac? I'm not paying a grand for a computer that we've been used to for the past 10 years or so. And I digress. To continue... if you are enjoying our episodes and you've been listening to us mobily but wish to listen to us on a laptop or desktop-based computer, you're more than welcome to do so. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, plus a plethora of other places. Plus, our main website is the best place to get every single one of our episodes, including the ones back in the beginning. You could download them, listen to them at your leisure on the app of your choice, or stream them right on the website. We do recommend you booking that website because, well, the places like Spotify and Pandora and iTunes are not fallible. And I should say not infallible. They tend to like, we don't like that episode, so therefore we're not going to air it. So it's best to bookmark our website and make sure that you're getting the episodes that are out there. The shadow banning is a thing. Our Podbean site does not shadow ban anything. So our Podbean site, our website is thelongcoatmafia.com. Podbean.com, and yes, the word the is part of the URL. Links are in the description down below in regards to everything. Again, it is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. But if you enjoy listening to us on the mobile, if you listen to us on the laptop and you wish to listen to us on the go, you're more than welcome to use Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Pandora, Audible. Yes, that's right. I said Audible. Amazon Music, or whatever podcasting app that's out there that has us. You have options, people, and you're welcome to do the. You know, welcome to those options. We're happy that you're listening. If you're able to rate and review us, please do so. I almost forgot about YouTube. How about them apples? We're still on our way to our 100 subscriber goal. That's right. I forgot YouTube and Facebook. We've been putting up a whole mess load of YouTube exclusive videos. So subscribe to our YouTube channel. There's a whole plethora of content up there. We've been putting up, as stated, YouTube exclusive videos. Now, after a while, some of these videos might become Facebook videos as well, but for the time being, these are YouTube exclusive videos. Just go to YouTube, search for The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. If you just search for The Long Coat Mafia, bad stuff is going to come up. You have to include the word podcast. Search for the Long Coat Mafia podcast, and our channel comes up. It's the first one that does. We've checked it on computers that clear out the cache and doesn't, you know, autofill. And plus, we had seen the new subscribers subscribe to our channel tonight as of this recording. And when he did the whole Long Coat Mafia stuff in, bad stuff showed up. But when he put in the Long Coat Mafia podcast, we were on top, baby. That's right. Search for the Long Coat Mafia podcast. Our channel comes up. The direct link is in our show description down below. So you're more than free to follow that link, subscribe. If you like the videos you watch, hit that like button and everything else. Subscribe, help us get to our 100 subscriber goal so we can change the URL. So when you do search for the Long Coat Mafia, it does come up. So that way we got the channel. So that way you're searching for us no matter what, baby. That's right. That's right. Plus, we do have a Facebook page, as stated as probably earlier in this program. It is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. Links to both are in the description down below. We do recommend you hitting that like button on our Facebook page and following us on Facebook. We're, if not at 500 followers, it took us 6 damn years. Thank you very much. But still, we're at or around about 500 followers on actual likes on Facebook. So smash that like button there. Keep track of us on there, because there's times that we're going to put exclusive Facebook content on Facebook. It's not going to be on YouTube. It's not going to be on Instagram. It's not going to be on Twitter. It's going to be on Facebook. So you're going to want to hit that like button, follow us there, and not miss out on everything. And plus, I'm going to have to ask all of you to bookmark our website, which again is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. That way, if a place like Apple iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or them just to, decide to screw up and not carry us, you're able to get our content. Plus, bookmark us on your mobile device's web browser, whether you use Chrome or whatever is installed. Just that if you want to download any particular episode off the website, you're going to need the Podbean app. That Podbean app is free to download. It might ask you to sign up and follow us that way. You're more than welcome to do so. It's free to sign up. They're not going to ask you any money. But if you want to start your own podcast, you're more than welcome to do so. The Podbean is very cheap, $10 a month for unlimited. But if you sign up for the annuity, it might be a little bit cheaper, like $9 a month. But it's a good deal if you want to start your own podcast. You're able to follow us on the Podbean app, have access to everything, leave us comments, like our episodes that way, leave us reviews. That way you're not missing anything that way. Podbean doesn't shadow ban like a lot of the other places do. But either way, I got to go. I got to prepare for next week's episode. I got to prepare our videos to upload to YouTube sometime this week. So you're not missing out on content later this week. Three more episodes that will be posted up this week for all of you to watch. So catch them. And here's the thing, folks. Here's the thing. Keep an eye on those videos filmed at the Apollo Theater, because you don't know if something's going to appear in the background. Because, again, the Apollo Theater is reported to be haunted. So, check us out. Check us out. Check everything out. Watch the videos. Some people have said my house is haunted, too. So, either way, check out our videos and everything else. And I'll speak to you all next week. I have no idea what's happening next week at this point. There could be another set of Halloween interviews next week. I don't know what's going to happen. It's up in the air. So check us out. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts. Follow us. We don't know what's going to go on. You're going to get some interesting content. If you're a new listener, you might get retrospective stuff that's going to be new to you. So check us out. Come on, folks. Give us a listen. Give us a like. Give us a follow. Check us out, and I'll see you all next week. Loads of stuff coming your way. I am the Reverend Godfather, and I am out.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.